Matthew chapter number 13. And when you found your place, I'd like to invite you to stand to your feet. And we're going to begin reading in verse 24. We have a few verses. In order to understand them, we're going to read two different portions in this chapter. And we're looking this morning at the parable of the wheat and the tares. If you've ever been in church for any amount of time, then you are probably familiar with that term, the wheat and the tares. He said in verse 24, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now look in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach, Lord, this serious passage, Lord, of warning, of judgment. And if there's someone here not saved, God, would they tremble before you, and would they run to Jesus and be saved? In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I may have failed. I don't know. Brother Ronnie, are we having children's church? We've got that in the back. I want to preach this morning on the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares. I want to be honest with you, this is not a fun sermon to preach. It's not a sermon that I delight in preaching, but it's a sermon I believe we need to hear. I'm going to be very honest with you about my intentions. I want to preach a message of warning this morning to all of you. I want to preach a message of judgment, and I only have one purpose in preaching it. My purpose is, if there is someone here not saved, you're listening to the sound of my voice, and you do not know Christ as your Savior, I hope to show you the fierce anger of God towards you today. I hope to warn you about a place called hell, a place of the eternal judgment of God upon sinners. And I hope that I could preach this to you in such a way that would literally make you fear and tremble to think of such a judgment and such a place. And I hope, not to stop there, but I hope that you would fear and you would tremble to the point that you would do something about it, and that you would not leave here the way you came. That you would actually run to Jesus and ask him for mercy and for pardon for your sin and ask him to save you. That's what I want to do today. And that's not a very popular thing to do in our culture. In the time in which we live in, it's very unpopular to preach a message of judgment to people in America today. Our culture has plugged its ears to the message of judgment. We're living in a day where sinners, men and women, don't want to hear about their lives or their lifestyles being sinful before God. We don't want anyone to tell us that we're wrong. And we certainly don't want to hear that we stand condemned before a holy God. And we certainly don't want to hear that if we don't do something about our sin and we die, we're going to be eternally damned because of our sin. No one wants to hear that in our day and age. The Bible actually prophesied that that time would come where men would not endure sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy 4, in verse 3, it says, "There is coming a time that men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." There will be men and women that will gather up preachers that only tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And we're just like the nation of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 10, there was a time in the nation of Israel when they told their preachers and their prophets, they said, "Prophesy not right things. Don't tell us the truth, but speak unto us smooth things. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." There was a time in Israel's history when they did not want to hear the truth. They would rather hear things to make them feel good and make them happy. And they didn't want to hear about a holy God. And we're living in that day where men would rather hear what they want to hear than what they need to hear. They would rather be made to feel good than to know the truth. But friend, don't you want to know the truth today? Don't you want to know the truth about eternity? We're living in a day where truth seems to not really matter. People say, "Well, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth." There's only one truth, and it's God's truth. He said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's only one way that I can truly help you this morning, and it's by telling you the truth. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell you about the truth about judgment. If I were to skip over judgment, if I were to never preach on it, if I were to tell you only things you like to hear, I would not be following the pattern of Jesus, my Savior. Because Jesus was a judgment preacher. Can I ask you a question before I get into this message? Some people are disgusted by what I've just said. Some people would say that I'm a manipulative preacher, that I am using fear tactics to get you to change your ways or to come to church. Can I ask you a question? A cancer doctor that comes into a room and has a cancer patient, and that doctor tells them the truth about their cancer and tells them if they are not going to take any medicine, they'll die. Would any of you accuse that doctor of being manipulative or inducing fear tactics to make his patient cry? There's been many patients left the doctor's office crying because they were told the truth. But nobody is upset with the doctor if the doctor tells them in love, and especially if there's a cure. So please understand that I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not even trying to scare you. But let me say this. If you're not saved, I am trying to tell you, you should be scared. You should be scared. We live in a day where fear is almost altogether set aside as something bad. Fear is bad. Fear is bad. Fear is not always bad. Fear caused you to hit your brakes this morning when that person in front of you brake checked you, right? Because you had a fear in you that didn't want to wreck, and so your fear caused a good response. And fear's not always bad. Fear keeps us from walking down back alleys at night without any protection because we have a healthy fear. And would it not be right to have a fear of God? To have a fear of death, to have a fear of judgment? I really want you to think about this. I want to give you three things from this parable that we've just read about the wheat and the tares. And I want to warn you about things to come. And if you've never been saved, I hope that they would change your heart today about Jesus Christ. Number one, I want you to notice Jesus is teaching a parable about judgment here. And the first thing that he does in this parable is he makes a clear distinction. He makes a clear distinction. Here's the parable. Let me give it to you again as we've read it and explain it a little bit, and then we're going to see where Jesus is going with this parable. Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. He's speaking to the Pharisees, and he's speaking to his disciples. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus came to die on the cross in the place of sinners, that we would be saved from our sin, that we would be saved from hell. And Jesus, instead of being met with open arms by his people, he was rejected. You can go through the book of Matthew, and almost entirely in the book of Matthew, you'll find rejection after rejection after rejection. And what Jesus is teaching here in a great sequence of parables is for those who reject him, there is coming a judgment. This isn't a take it or leave it sort of thing. This is life or death. And so in this parable, he tells of a field, and the owner of the field went out to his field, and he sowed seeds for wheat, for a barley harvest. And it says that during the night while men slept, his enemy came and he sowed seeds of tares among the wheat. Tares were essentially weeds. They were essentially a degenerate form of wheat. They were no good. They were useless. They didn't bear any sort of wheat. They would often be planted beside the wheat and they would choke out the true wheat. And at the end of the harvest time, they'd bring forth nothing. And did you know in those days it was a common thing. If somebody really had malice towards someone else, this was a common occurrence. An enemy would actually come and they would sow tares among a neighboring farmer's wheat to destroy their harvest. It was so common that the Romans actually had a law against it. Just like a law against theft, they had a law against doing this. So this man that planted the good wheat, his servants went out and they found that there were weeds among the wheat. And they said, "Sir, what are we going to do? Or should we try and pluck up the weeds?" And he said, "You can't do that." He said, "If you pull out the weeds, you'll pull out the wheat too. At the same time, the roots intercross. And so all you can do is wait until it's time for harvest." At the time of harvest, it was very clear that they were different. They were similar when they were first planted. But at the end of the harvest, the wheat would bow with the weight of the harvest, and the weeds, the tares, would stand straight up, and then they could safely separate them. He said, "The wheat you will take and you'll put in the barn, and the tares are good for nothing. They'll go to the fire." You say, what does that have to do with judgment? After the multitude went away, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Explain to us the meaning of this parable." And he said, "Here's the parable. The field represents the world. The field of this man represents the world. And in this man's field, this good man planted wheat and his enemy planted tares." So how many plants are in the field? There's two. And we see immediately how this represents the world. And most of you know this, some of you don't. In the world today, God likens the world unto a field. This field had wheat and it had tares. And I want you to know today, there are only two types of people in the world today. There are wheat in God's eyes, and there are tares in God's eyes. This is a very clear distinction that Jesus is making here. I want you to know that God does not see through a lens as we see people. God doesn't see upper class and middle class and lower class. God doesn't see red or yellow, black and white. God doesn't see Muslim or Buddhist or Methodist or Baptist or Catholic. God only makes one distinction in the field of the world, and that is you are either a wheat or you are a tare. That's all that you are in God's eyes. You say, what's the difference? The wheat was planted by the owner, the rightful owner of the field. The wheat was, of course, beneficial. It was good. The wheat is a picture of the righteous that are planted by the Father, by Jesus Christ. Look in verse 37. "He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." That is Jesus. So there is either wheat that has been planted by Christ, or there is tares that are planted by the enemy. Tares are, of course, weeds, unbeneficial, planted by the enemy, and they are a picture of the wicked. They're a picture of those that are not saved, those that are lost. Look what he said in verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. That is literally the devil. Christ makes it clear. You're either a wheat or you're a tare. You're either planted and owned by Christ or you're planted and owned by the wicked one, who is the devil. Friend, there's only two types of people here today. You're either a wheat or you're a tare. You're either righteous or wicked. You're either lost or you're found. You're saved or you're not saved. You're in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You are either one or the other, a child of God or a child of the devil. You say, Revis, I'm not either one. I'm in between. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. There is no sitting on the fence today. You're either saved or you're lost. You're a wheat or you're tare, but you're nothing in between. The Pharisees in Christ's day, they tried to blur the distinction also. They said, our father is Abraham. We're not of your father, but our father is Abraham. You know what Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8:44? He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. So you're either a children of God who is your father, or you're a child of the devil. You're either a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. If you're not with him, you're against him. And there is only two places you can be. Let me ask you a question before we go further. You need to find out right now which one you are. Are you a wheat or are you a tare? Search your heart and examine yourself and ask God to truly show you. Jesus is constantly making this distinction of the two differences in life. In this parable, he said you're either a wheat or you're a tare. That you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. In Matthew 7, he used this same idea with the two paths of life. So you're either a wheat or a tare. That was one parable. He said in another place, you're either on the narrow way in this life or you're on the wide road. You remember that? And the narrow way begins with a narrow gate and it leads to life. Or you're on the broad road with the broad gate that leads to death. So there's only two paths. There's only two types of people. There's only two types of builders. Do you remember the parable of the men who built their house? One built his house upon the rock and one built his house upon the sand. And when the time of storm came, the house on the sand fell and the house on the rock stood. What Jesus is getting at is there's only two types of people, only two paths in life. There's only two ways to build this life. Look in chapter 13 and verse 47. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So you're either on the wide road to death or the narrow road to life. You're either building on the rock of Jesus or on the sands of the world. You're either wheat or you're a tare. You're either good or you're bad. There's only two that you can be. You say, I know this. There's a lot of people that don't know this. There's a lot of people thinking that they're going to go to heaven based on their own merit, and they may not be the best, but they're not the worst. So surely God will grade on a curve and let them in. God doesn't grade on a curve. You're either good or you're bad. You're either in him or you're outside of him. You're either a wheat or a tare. Let me say this. A wheat and a tare are inherently different. You know this. A wheat cannot become a tare. And a tare cannot become a wheat. There's nothing a tare can do to make itself a wheat, no matter how hard it may try. There is no natural, notice the word natural, there is no natural process that could change one into becoming another. So there's a clear distinction. Friend, you're either a wheat or you're a tare. Let me give you secondly, there's not only a clear distinction, there's a clear destination. There's a clear destination. The servants of this householder came to him and said, "There's tares among the wheat. Should we go pluck them up?" And he said, "No, if you pluck them up, you'll only damage the true wheat. You won't be able to perfectly tell them apart. But if you'll wait for the end of the season, at the end of the age, you'll be able to clearly tell them apart, and you'll be able to successfully separate them." Let me say right now, we're living in the time of harvest. We're living in the time of planting. The church age that we're in, this is an age of grace. If you're not saved, we're living in a time where God is giving you a chance to repent, and he's giving you grace, the gift of salvation, if you'll accept it. And the church is not trying to judge men and women. We're not here to do God's work of judgment. We're not going out to pluck up the tares. We're just tending to the wheat. We're just sowing seed. But there's coming a day when the harvest is going to be ripe. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to come again. I believe in the literal, physical, bodily return of Jesus. He is going to come back with the armies of heaven and set up a literal kingdom here. And on that day, he's going to come with a sickle of judgment, and it will be very clear who is wheat and who are tares. And Christ is going to come and separate at the end of time, at the end of the world, by his way of judgment. You will be found out. You may be blending in today. Maybe you're raised in a Christian home. You're still under your parents' influence. And by all outward means, you look like wheat. You look saved, but you're not. Maybe you've been baptized and you've become a member of the church and you live a relatively good life. You may look like wheat, but that doesn't mean that you are. And there's coming a day when God is going to find out the secrets of men's hearts and make them plain. And what is our destiny? Look there in verse 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Do you know what the destiny of the tares are, the wicked, the lost? There's only one destiny for the tares, and that is hell. That is a place of fire and torment. You say, is hell really got real fire? I know this. Anytime God uses something to describe something spiritual, it's always worse than the example he uses to describe it. So if hell's not filled with fire, it's filled with something worse than fire. It's filled with the literal wrath of God upon sinners. And real people go there and spend an eternity there. And you may mock at that idea. You may find that funny. But I promise you there's coming a day when it will not be funny to you. It is a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do you know why? There's going to be two types of people in hell. There are going to be people in hell that when they wake up there, they'll be shocked that they're in hell because they thought their whole life they'd be going to heaven. There will be people there who trusted in their own merit, their own work, their baptism, their church membership, their religion, their good deeds, the things they'd accomplished. And when they wake up in hell, they'll be shocked and they'll wail. "Oh, God! I'm in hell." Just think about that. There'll be people that will gnash their teeth because they'll still be filled with pride in hell. Some will wail in sorrow and some will gnash in anger. "God, I can't believe you would put me here." But they'll be getting exactly what we deserve. Because all the judgments of God are righteous. And all of His judgments are holy. There are people in prison today that are wailing because they never thought they'd end up there. There are people in prison today that are gnashing their teeth because they're so mad they got caught. And we don't blame the judge for their wailing or their gnashing. And you cannot blame the judge of the universe for the gnashing or the wailing of men. It's our own sin that puts us in hell. There is a clear destination. Look there at the end of the parable in verse number 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you understand, you better hear. You better heed. Only those that are wheat, only those that are saved, only those that are righteous will inherit the shining, bright kingdom of God. That is their only destiny. It's either heaven or it's hell. There is a clear destiny. I want you to notice lastly, there is a clear delivery. If this were all that I had to tell you this morning, this would be the saddest day of our life. But it's not all. You know, a cancer doctor must break the news of cancer to his patient if he ever hopes to actually treat them. They must know. They must agree to be treated. And friend, I've told you this not to make you despair or to make you sorrowful. I've told you this so that you'll come to your senses and say, I need to do something about this. What can I do? There's only one way to change your destiny. If you're a tare, you must become a wheat. That's the only way, right? Now, did I not just say that a tare can never become a wheat? A wheat can never become a tare. So how can a lost man ever become found? How can an unregenerate man or woman become regenerated? The key word is natural. There's no natural way to do that. Not the labor of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow? Could my fervency no respite know? All for this, for sin could not atone. You can't do anything to become a tare. Jesus put it this way. Instead of saying wheat and tare, he said in another passage, you're either born of the flesh or you're born of the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. If you want to go from being a tare to being a wheat, you want to go from being flesh to being spirit, you're going to have to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is there anybody here that has the power to be born again? Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. I'll show you the only way you can be delivered from hell. Ephesians chapter number 2, it's forward from the book of Matthew towards the end of the book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Then you'll find yourself in these epistles. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Look in chapter number 2. I'm going to let you in on a secret. We were all born tares. There was nobody that wasn't born a tare. Not a one of us was ever born wheat. We were all born lost. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That means made alive, like the quick of the nail. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by what? Nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Do you know how you and I were born? We were born children of the devil. We inherited a sinful nature. We were born children of disobedience, and we were born as children of wrath. Our only destiny was the wrath of God. You know what sinners do? We sin. That's what we love. We walk according to the course of this world. But look in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Can a dead man raise himself? Can a tare become a wheat? No, but God can make a dead man live. God can make a tare become a wheat. He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That is the only way that you'll ever be delivered, is if you come to God and call out for his mercy. And he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's no longer a tare, he's a wheat. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Musicians are coming. Everybody's being just as still as they can be. The only ones moving are coming for the piano and the music. Nobody's looking around. If you're here today and you say, Revis, I am not saved. I realize that I'm a tare. I don't know Jesus. I thought that I was safe, but I realize I'm not anymore. Would you be honest enough with me while no one's looking to just raise up your hand and say, pray for me? Anybody? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I feel with my heart this is what that you had for us today, and I believe there's someone here that needs to hear it. There's someone here not saved. And Lord, I have given them your truth, and Lord, their blood is clear from my hands. I've warned them today. But Lord, my desire is that they would be saved, that they would see your great love for them. You don't want them to die and go to hell, but you sent your son, Jesus, to die on their behalf. That's the whole message of the cross. For God so loved the world. Lord, I pray they'd run to you and be saved, and that you'd quicken them to eternal life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing. These altars are open. If you need to come pray, you need to grab me, I'd be happy to pray with you.
The love of God is greater far than trouble or pain can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave.